Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Isn't God good? This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. We have song 3, 4 songs this morning. God is good. He's a good, good Father. We even sung, Are You Washed in the Blood? And, you know, you think about the Christian life, and that is great for us, right? But what about those out there? Shouldn't it create in us a desire to want to take the good news of how they can have a good, good Father? How we can take the good news of a God who is so good that He sent His Son Jesus down a cross? To them. They go and proclaim, Are you washed in the blood? To them. That's going to be kind of the topic of our message today. Let's begin by reading Romans 10, verses 8 through 17. The Word of God says this. But what does it say? The Word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity to gather here in fellowship with one another, Lord, and just to worship You and praise You and give You glory and honor this morning through song, through studying of Your Word in Sunday school, through the preaching right now, Lord. Lord, I pray that through all of this, we will just worship You and who You are. God, this morning I pray that we will see and understand that there are people out there who have never heard the gospel. And because they've never heard the gospel, Lord, they cannot believe it. And we, as Christians, have a responsibility to take the gospel to them. And Lord, I pray that you will just give us strength, that you will create in us a desire to take the gospel to these people, because they need to hear it. God, this morning I pray that you will just speak through me, Lord. That you just use me as a vessel for your kingdom to make your word known. That I just preach your word and your word alone. That I preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion, Lord. And God, I pray that you will just rid our mind of distractions, of things that's going on around us, and help us to focus on you and you alone this morning. To hear what you have to say from your word. And God, help us to remember and never forget Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. Well, we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we to do with the gospel? What are we to do with the gospel? For the past 4 weeks, we have answered the question, what is the gospel, right? We summarized it in between with 4 words, God, man, Christ, response. I'm not going to go back through all those because my hope is that by now you know what they mean. But what are we to do with the gospel? The answer is simply, we proclaim it. We proclaim it. We proclaim the gospel. As Christians, as believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to live in obedience to God by proclaiming His gospel. We as Christians are to live like Jesus. And when we live like Jesus, we will proclaim the gospel. Remember Mark chapter 1, verse 15, we read last week. And Jesus says these words, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What was Jesus doing throughout his whole life? He came to proclaim the gospel. Jesus displayed perfectly for us what we are to do as believers. He came and he told people that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. When was the last time you had a gospel conversation with someone? When was the last time you sought someone out to try and have a gospel conversation with them? To talk to them about Jesus and what He's done for you on the cross and what He has done for them on the cross. Do you struggle with knowing who to share the gospel with at times? Do you struggle with knowing maybe how to share the gospel with someone? We know what the gospel is, but maybe you struggle with how to actually convey that gospel to people. Do you fear offending people or pushing people farther away from God because you might want to share the gospel with them? Church, by the end of this sermon, I hope that you will feel the desire to want to have gospel conversations with people. I hope that you will know that who and how to share the gospel with people around you. I hope that by the end of this sermon, you will have confidence in seeking people out to proclaim the gospel to them. I hope that you will not fear offending people or pushing them farther away from God and the gospel. If I'm honest, I believe we all struggle with having gospel conversations with people. We're afraid of what they will say or what they will think. We're afraid we might mess it all up. And that causes us to shy away from proclaiming the gospel, don't it? But church, we must push forward. We must continue to push on. We must break the walls down and push forward in having gospel conversations with people, because the promise, the more times you do it, the more comfortable you will become with proclaiming the gospel to people. It's just like anything else in life, right? The more times you do something, the more comfortable you become with it. The more times you proclaim the gospel to people, the more comfortable it will become. So today, my purpose in preaching to you from Romans 10, 8 through 17, is that you will see the importance of why we must proclaim the gospel to people. For people to believe the very gospel that we believe, they must hear the gospel proclaimed of them. In our sermon today, we're going to answer three questions. Why do we proclaim the gospel? How do we proclaim the gospel? And lastly, who do we proclaim the gospel to? So let's begin with question one. Question one is, why do we proclaim the gospel? Is that hard to see? Okay, that's good to know. It's hard for me to see back there. So if it's hard for me to see, then I was going to imagine that it was hard for you guys to see. But I wanted to make sure, so that way I don't do that again. But question one, why do we proclaim the gospel? And the answer is, unbelievers must hear the gospel to believe it. Unbelievers must hear the gospel to believe the gospel. Read with me verse 14 again. It goes on and it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Paul, the author of Romans, is using rhetorical questions to bring his point apart, to make his point known. It's pretty evident from reading verse 14 what Paul is teaching, ain't it? Paul is clearly pointing out two things to us here. The first thing he is pointing out is that unbelievers cannot call upon the Lord if they have not believed. Unbelievers cannot call upon the Lord if they have not believed. You cannot commit to something if you don't believe it. You can't agree with something if you don't believe it to be true. This makes me think of those TV commercials, the as seen on TV commercials. The ones where they always advertise some sort of item for sale and it's going to make your life better, right? That's what all advertisements are. They're all about making your life better. One of my favorite ones of all time is Flex Tape. Y'all have all seen the Flex Tape commercials, right? You've seen them. You watch those commercials and they got this tape in their hand and there's a full tank of water right there. Water is shooting out a hole in the tank and the guy says, Flex Tape. And what happens? No more water flows out, right? Or maybe he's got a boat, he puts a hole in the bottom of the boat, he gets his Flex Tape, he tapes all the bottom of the boat, they push it in the water and he gets into it and he floats. And he's like, Flex Tape. It does wonders, right? They show you these demonstrations. Why do they show you these things? To get you to believe it. To get you to purchase it. To get you to see that it works. That's the whole purpose of every TV commercial, every TV advertisement. They are trying to get you to believe something in order to get you to believe it. So you will purchase it. When you believe it, you buy it, right? I bought Flex Tape. Not going to lie. It's not the worst thing in the world either. Okay? But this is very, very similar to what happens when unbelievers become believers in Christ. We proclaim the gospel to them. God convicts them of their sin. They see the good of the gospel and how it can save them, and therefore they believe and call upon the name of the Lord. This makes me think of Thomas, doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, as many called him. Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried in his tomb, and Jesus has now been resurrected. And Thomas says, I'm not going to believe until I see the hands of Jesus and touch his side. And then along comes Jesus, and Jesus calls Thomas over and says, hey, Thomas, put your finger here. Feel my hands. Put your hand in my side. Thomas does as Jesus says, and then Thomas proclaims, my Lord and my God. Thomas called upon the name of the Lord because he believed. He believed. People cannot call upon Jesus if they don't believe. And this leads to the second thing that Paul is pointing out to us here. Unbelievers cannot believe the gospel if they don't hear the gospel. You cannot believe in something you have never heard of before. You just can't. You cannot believe in something you've never heard. It's impossible to do that, right? If you've never heard it, can you believe it? You can't. Unbelievers will never, ever be able to believe in the gospel of Jesus unless they hear the gospel. Salvation can only come to those who have heard the gospel of Jesus because they can't believe in something they've never heard. In church, there is a whole lot of people who have never heard the gospel. I don't think we realize the amount of people that have never heard the gospel. And the sad reality is that if they don't hear the gospel, then they cannot believe the gospel. They cannot repent of their sins and be saved. Church, I want you to know that right here in Nashville, Tennessee, there are thousands of people who have never heard the gospel. They may know who Jesus is. Lots of people know who Jesus is, right? They see the commercials on TV, Jesus gets us. They know who Jesus is. They may know who God is. But have they heard the gospel? Do they know what the gospel of Jesus is? Do they know the good news of salvation? Because if they have not heard that, then they don't know what the point of Jesus is. We have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel. Because when unbelievers hear the gospel, they can believe the gospel. And they can call upon the Lord. And you know who God uses? You know who God uses to help people hear the gospel? He uses you. He uses every single one of us. He uses every believer in the world to share the gospel of Jesus. God, in His goodness, in His power, in His mightiness, He can do whatever He wants to do. And you know who He has chosen to make His gospel known to people? He's chosen His people. He's chosen us. He's chosen believers, the ones who have already heard the gospel and believe the gospel, to be the very ones to proclaim the gospel. And this leads us to our second point, or our second question, rather. How do we proclaim the gospel? How do we proclaim the gospel? And the answer is simple. We simply preach it. We simply preach the gospel by having gospel conversations with people. Church, please don't think that because I said that we are to preach it, that this doesn't include you. It's not just me, okay? It's every single one of us. Preaching is just telling people something. And that's the point that Paul was making here in Romans 14. Let's read it one more time, verse 14 and 15. Paul says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And then verse 15, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Paul gives us an answer to how we are to proclaim the gospel to people. We preach it. We preach it in our conversations with people. Ashton told me she heard a preacher say this one time. He said, "We don't share the gospel, we proclaim the gospel." He goes on and he says, "We share peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We proclaim the gospel." Now, understand, when I say that when we proclaim the gospel, we are sharing the gospel. But we should go farther than that. We're not just taking pieces and handing it to people. We are proclaiming the whole truth, the whole gospel to people. That's what we should do. I've often heard people talk about how we should live our lives in such a way that it will just prompt people to ask us about our own lives, and then it gives us the opportunity to talk about the gospel. I've heard that all my life. And I want you to know that that is not wrong. So don't hear me saying that it is wrong, because it is good and it is right. But church, we must not settle there. We must not stop there. We must not just sit around waiting and waiting for someone to come knocking on our doors because they saw how we live our lives and want to talk about Jesus. Jesus commands us to go to them. To go and proclaim it. We must take the gospel to those people. We must and should be having gospel conversations with people as we go through our daily lives. We read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, the Great Commission, when Jesus says to go therefore and make disciples. The word for go in that verse should be more understood in the sense of as you are going. As you are going through your daily life, as you go and work your job, make disciples. As you live in retirement, make disciples. As you babysit your grandkids, make disciples. As you go through your life, make disciples by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Seeking out opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation. Proclaim it with pride and with joy and with hope that people will believe it. We've got to get this fear out of our heads that if I talk about Jesus, then they're just going to shut down. We tend to have very little issues proclaiming things related to sports and family, but we struggle so much with proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Talk about Titans football, open ears. Talk about the Atlanta Braves baseball, open ears. Talk about Tennessee football, open ears. Vanderbilt for some people, Kentucky for others. Maybe you, I don't know. Talk about any sort of sport. Talk about the Olympics that's happening right now. And people are open ears, right? But more than that, we are comfortable talking about those things. Why are we not comfortable talking about Jesus? And it's because we don't talk about Him enough. Realize, in a few minutes, I hope to share with you different ways that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Different strategies, different methods of how we can talk with people about the gospel. But for now, just know and realize that God has chosen you. He has chosen you to be the one who proclaims the gospel to unbelievers so they can hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and be saved. Chosen you. It's no small responsibility. And this leads us to our last question to be answered. Who do we proclaim the gospel to? Who do we proclaim the gospel to? And the answer is everyone. Everyone. Read with me verses 11 through 13 of Romans chapter 10 here. For the scripture says, everyone, notice that, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. In verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Church, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. To every single person. Did y'all see the everyone's in that passage? Everyone who believes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus to everyone in hopes that every one of them will hear the gospel, believe the gospel, call upon the name of the Lord. And it means that we leave no one out. It doesn't matter the race. It doesn't matter the culture. It doesn't matter the nationality. It doesn't matter the background. It doesn't matter who they are. We proclaim the gospel to them. Paul says there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, meaning that there is no group of people that's left out, but rather any person from any group of people has the opportunity to believe the gospel of Jesus and call upon the name of the Lord. This past Friday kicked off the 2024 Olympic ceremony, right? I watched some of it and was just shocked at what was shown on national TV. But you know what? Every single one of those people need to hear one thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Every nation that is represented at the Olympic Games, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus. Every nation that is not represented at the Olympic Games needs to hear the gospel. The rich man, the poor man, the homeless man, your friend, your family, your coworker, your neighbor, everyone is who we proclaim it to. And church, don't worry about offending them. Don't worry about hurting their feelings. They're already offended by the gospel. The gospel is offensive. It's meant to be offensive. Why is it offensive? Because it tells people they're sinners. And who likes being told they're sinners? Nobody. Let me break it to you. Who likes being told they're not good enough to save themselves? Let me answer it for you. Nobody. They're already offended by the gospel. Don't worry about offending them. The gospel tells people they are sinners. The gospel tells people they are good enough. They are not good enough on their own merit to save themselves. The gospel requires humility from those that submit themselves to Jesus. And that makes the gospel offensive. And don't worry about pushing them farther away from God. You know why? Because if they are not saved, they are already as far away from God as they can get. They can't get any farther. We're not straddling a fence here. Well, yeah, I'm tinker-totting over here, I'm tinker-totting over here. No. You're either saved or you're not saved. You can't get any farther away from God. And if you're saved, you can't get any closer. You're with God, right there with Him. Don't worry about pushing people away from the gospel of Jesus. They can't get any farther. Now there, I want to be very clear, there is a difference here. There is a clear difference between forcing the gospel on someone and respectfully proclaiming the gospel to them. I have some friends that work in their IMB missionaries in Leeds, England. And they often talk about this system that they used. And they use a red light, yellow light, and green light system. A way they try to make sure they are appropriately and respectfully talking to people about the gospel. And so what they do and what they say is, if you find yourself in a conversation with someone who is just hostile or hostile, and it's just really, you know, outraged against Christians and the Bible and Christianity, well, it might be a red light. I think we would all agree with that, right? Maybe we shouldn't talk about the gospel. Doesn't mean we won't ever talk about the gospel to them, because they do need the gospel proclaimed to them at some point. But maybe now is not the time. And then they say, well, there's a yellow light too. You come up to someone, maybe they're cautious, or maybe they're not really, you know, fond of it, but they're welcome to maybe hearing about it, or they're open to it, and so it's like, okay, proceed with caution, right? That's what a yellow light is. We're going to proceed with caution. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but if they become a red light, then I'm going to step back. I'm not going to push forward, right? That's kind of a situation with the yellow light. But maybe I talk about it a little bit, and they're like receptive to it. Well, then what happens? You then have a green light. Go for it. Proclaim the gospel. Proclaim Jesus to them. Tell them about their need for salvation. They talk about using this all the time. I'm not going to spend so much time here just talking about the different scenarios that you could find yourself in with the red light, yellow light, or green light. I trust that you can feel that inside of you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of when it's right and when it's wrong to go forward. But church, don't ever be afraid of sharing the gospel because you fear offending them or pushing them farther away. Share it in hopes that they will be offended and see their need for Jesus Christ as Savior and call upon the name of the Lord. Share it with them in hopes of not, you're not going to push them farther away, but in hopes that they will be receptive of the gospel and they will believe. But regardless, who do we preach the gospel to? Everyone. Every single person. In our sermon today, we have answered three questions. The first question was, I messed up. The first question is, who do we, let's see here. The first question is, why do we proclaim the gospel? And the answer was, unbelievers must hear the gospel to believe it. The second question is, how do we proclaim the gospel to them? We preach it to them. We just talk to them. We have gospel conversations with them. And thirdly, who do we proclaim the gospel to? And that is everyone. Every single individual out there. Church, I hope that from hearing this sermon, you will see the need of why we must share the gospel with people. That we will see that if nobody hears it, then they never have the opportunity to believe it. The Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 10 that you can't believe the gospel unless you hear the gospel. We must take the gospel to all those in our communities, to all those around us, and have conversations with people. At this time, I just want to take some opportunities and share some strategies to sharing the gospel with people, or how to have conversations with people. The first strategy that we see here, some of y'all may have heard of this, is called the three circles strategy. It's a great strategy. I love this strategy. There's actually some little booklets. They're called life conversation guides, three circles. There's some on the table back there. I don't have a lot. But essentially all this is, it just walks you through how to share the gospel with people. How to turn everyday conversations to gospel conversations. And essentially the way it works, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide there for me. Yep, go to the next one. Okay, you have God's design. Now before I go further, I want you to know that every single one of these strategies, the methods, they all deal with the same four words somewhere in the gospel: God, man, Christ, response. God's design, right? What did God do at the very beginning? He created a good creation. He created a perfect creation, a creation that had nothing wrong with it. We see that God is a holy God and He is a good God. But then, Adam and Eve sin. And when Adam and Eve sin, what happens? It brings brokenness into the world. Things like death, things like sadness, things like depression, things like addiction. So many broken things were brought into the world because of sin. You often hear the question, why do bad things happen? Let me give you the answer. Sin. Sin is the reason. Brokenness happens. People are broken. And the whole point of this is when you are having conversations with people throughout your everyday life, and they talk to you about their marriage, or they talk to you about things that are happening in their life that are a result of sin and brokenness, you are then able to point them to the gospel. You've been able to point them to Jesus. You're able to point them to what Jesus did on the cross for them, of how Jesus died a sacrificial death on the cross for their sin so they can be saved. It goes on, and we tell them of how they can believe and repent of their sins. And then, after we tell them the gospel and how because of their brokenness, it bridges over into the gospel, we teach them and tell them how to repent and believe. We then work toward God's design. We recover and pursue God's original design, which was to live in perfect harmony with everything, right? Right? To be in such a good creation. And one day, as Christians, guess what? We are going to get to experience that again in the new heaven and the new earth. This is the, like I said, it's the life conversation guide. God's design, sin messed it all up. It leads to brokenness in people's lives. And because of brokenness, we need the gospel of Jesus. And when we believe in the gospel of Jesus and repent of our sins, we will be saved. And that leads us back to God's good design for humanity and for all of creation. This is a great way. I've seen people use this on napkins at restaurants when they're talking with friends or co-workers. I've seen people just memorize it and then just draw the circles. And the reality is you can start anywhere in this circle. Anywhere. Any of those three areas. You can take that, start where the conversation leads you to, and then just make your way around it. So that's just one strategy. The next strategy I like to call the hand-to-hand strategy. And so you use your hands. Very simple. You use both of your hands. One hand, say your left hand, represents humanity. It represents us. It represents man. And your right hand represents God. And then you have something in between. So I'm going to use this card here. So you can use a book. You can use a card. You can use your cell phone. You can use anything, any item that you can put over your hand. And what happens is then you talk about what the gospel is, right? Okay, this is us. This is God. God is good, God is holy, God is righteous, man is sinful, and that has created a separation between us and God. Does that make sense? The book, the card, the phone, it represents sin and separation. But what did Christ do on the cross? He came to die for us and for our sins. And when we believe in Him, what happens to that sin? It is removed. And now we are in relationship with God. That relationship is restored because we have believed and repented of our sins. We're no longer separated. So that's just another way to share the gospel. I hope that is an easy, simple way to think. Maybe you don't have this. Maybe you forget this. But you have your hands, right? You always have your hands, don't you? They're always with you. It's just a matter of using them for the glory of God. The third method. This is a method that Ashton taught me. I think she heard it from someone a couple years back. And essentially, this is one of those where you kind of have to start off with, hey, we are sinners. We are separated from God. But start on the left side here. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus. And so what you do, how this works, I wish I could draw it for you, but I don't have that technology capabilities right now. But you draw a heart. That's the first thing you start with. You draw the heart. Draw the arrow coming down. God loved and He sent Jesus, right? God loved us so much, He sent Jesus. And then Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our mistakes. And inside the heart, you draw a cross. You draw that cross. You tell people what Jesus did for them, how He sacrificially died on the cross and what He did. And then we go to the right side and we realize that God gives the free gift of salvation to those who believe and repent of their sins. And so therefore you draw a box around the heart and the cross there. You put a little bow on top. I'm not the best artist, forgive me. You put a little bow on top there and you say, this is the free gift of salvation. All you have to do is believe and repent of your sins. You've shown them that God is holy. You've shown them that God is righteous. You've shown them that they're sinners. You've shown them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. You've shown them that they can now receive the free gift of salvation. All they have to do is believe and repent. And when they believe and repent, that relationship with God is then restored, and they too will have a place in heaven. So that's just another simple way to share the gospel with people, to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel. I hope all three of these strategies, there's tons of strategies out there, tons of methods out there. Some people like to use the Romans road, where you go through different passages in Romans and think through those. I would love to talk to you more about this if you are interested in knowing more about this. But I don't think you can go wrong with using any of these three strategies or methods in sharing the gospel with people about Jesus. Having gospel conversations with people. Not forcefully, but respectfully. And I think that's the most important thing that we have to remember as Christians. Let us respectfully preach the gospel to people by using things like this, by trying to just have gospel conversations with them, to show them their need for Jesus. The last thing I want to say is if you are here today and you have never believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of your Lord, Savior and Lord, you've never repented of your sins, I want you to know that today is the day. I want you to know that as we just looked at those three strategies, I'm curious if one of those have connected and resonated with you right now. And if one of those has, and you see your need for Jesus, and you see your need for salvation, then in this moment, believe and repent of your sins. Choose to follow Jesus, and He will save you. He will save you. If you'd like to have a conversation about that, here in a moment, during the invitation, you can have a conversation with me. If that makes you uncomfortable, I'd love to talk to you as you walk out the door. But church, I'll close with this. People cannot believe unless they hear the gospel. We have a responsibility to take the gospel to them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. More than that, God, we thank you for your whole word. Your whole word that you have given us, Lord. How we can learn and know more about you. And God, we thank you for passages that tell us that you are still saving people. Lord, we thank you this morning for your gospel. And God, I pray that we as individuals, we as a church, will just see and recognize the need for proclaiming the gospel, preaching the gospel to people. May we not just know the gospel, but may we also preach the gospel. Lord, help us to get over those fears of offending people or pushing farther away. Help us to get over those fears of feeling like we're going to mess it up or make a mistake as we proclaim the gospel. Help us get over those fears of fearing what people are going to think or say about us. But rather, let us love people, because the most loving thing that we can do is proclaim the gospel of Jesus to them. Help us to do that. God, we thank you for Jesus and Him dying on the cross for our sins. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.